And most agencies don't know the true health of their computer networks. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here to tell us about some of the steps CIOs are taking to get a more complete view. Nice to see you.
Always a pleasure.
A mandate from the Office of Management and Budget to get agencies to continuously monitor their networks is in place. Now, continuous monitoring is one thing that we've been hearing a lot about. Tell us what the deal is here.
Right, it's absolutely one of those buzzwords that people talk about, but what does it really mean? In many ways, continuous monitoring is a concept where you know the status of your network in real time. The biggest complaint you hear about the Federal Information Security Management Act is people do what they call a certification and accreditation, or they look at their network every year, every couple years, and it's not a real thing. Well, Bobby Stemfley is the director of the Homeland Security Department's National Cybersecurity Division, and she sums up continuous monitoring this way.
Continuous monitoring is a philosophy about understanding your environment in a 24/7 construct, understanding how it's behaving, what its configurations are, how it goes forward.
She says it's not a matter of just installing software and knowing everything about your network. It's actually bringing together several different pieces of data. I mean, if you can think of it as you, me, somebody going to the doctor, they take your blood pressure, they take your heart rate, they take different vital signs about you, and that's how they gauge your health. Well, what you're doing is you're getting that same pieces of your network, and you're gauging the health. So CIOs understand the health of their network.
Mm-hmm.
Our visibility of the desktop initiative is starting to give us that level of control. No. Our central network security and operations control center is giving us that level of control. But even with all the control we have, we are still substantially behind where the great private sector organizations are. I'd like to get to the point where we can implement blacklists inside of the VA. Right now, my private sector compatriots are talking about moving to whitelists, only allowing certain things to execute on their network, and nothing else can execute on the network.
That's Roger Baker, the Veterans Affairs Department's Assistant Secretary for Information Technology and CIO. And what he was describing there was really what VA is doing to get to that continuous monitoring. It's the asset visibility, the understanding of what really is on the network, what's connected, what are the hardware, the software, the different pieces. Now, right now, they have taken a big step, and they've just actually gotten that piece in place about over the last 4 or 5 months. So he's still working through some of the challenges of getting the continuous monitoring in place through this asset visibility. Now, other people, such as the Army, they're about 70% done with implementing their full network asset management visibility. And Mike Krieger is the Army acting CIO. He says he's made the asset management effort a personal goal over the last 2 years.
The hard part now that's going to take time is the implementation of the last phase of the architecture, which I really directed. So take the tier zero, the Army data aggregation point, move it to the SIPRNet, move it to an XML database, because they were using SQL Server, which is a wonderful database, and it's on our ELA license with Microsoft, but it's not the tier zero over a million objects database. And it's not an XML database, right? So I kind of directed, let's go to an XML database, because I want to support services to it and all the metadata. Let's move it into a secure data center. Let's find a robust enough CDS solution. That's where we're at now.
CDS solution A.
Cross-domain security solution. Because I'm going to put it on the SIPRNet. There's going to be people on the NIPRNet that have to feed it. And then I'm hoping we'll do most of the continuous monitoring on the SIPRNet side. So I'm really looking at a fairly easy CDS, probably a one-way inject from lower to higher, which is the easiest way to do it. I'm not looking at taking classified data down.
Now, Krieger says he's using actually three separate asset management tools from three separate vendors that all do different things to bring all that data together. And that was a big challenge. The Army has to figure out how to collect the right data because there's so many data elements, how to bring it into one central location, one database, and that can be displayed or actually read on a dashboard.
The Department of State has a really nice dashboard that we're all looking at. They're the first one that put on the street a really nice dashboard, right? So they have a dashboard that is effective for the user to do the continuous monitoring. Because that's the last part. So how do you display this so you can make decisions based on the information?
So Krieger says he also would recommend agencies join the Continuous Monitoring Working Group that includes DOD, DHS, State Department, and NASA, because what they're doing is they're getting together, they're talking about best practices, lessons learned, they're sharing kind of, hey, I'm having this challenge, how do we overcome it? And they're also talking to OMB about the challenges they're facing to help, you know, kind of ease the process, because, you know, it's not a... You think the deadline they have is coming up, and it's not tomorrow or anything, but it's also not 5 years from now either.
it's also not the only deadline that they're dealing with. They're also dealing with a deadline on tick, and that's integrated into this. One of the reasons that tick exists is for exactly this kind of cybersecurity monitoring. Talk about what's happening with tick.
Right, tick, the trusted internet connections, or the idea of secure gateways to the public internet. This is something that was started under the last administration. It's continuing under this administration, and agencies are going about this in two ways. Number one, they're doing it themselves. They're creating their own trusted internet connection. The other way is through the GSA Networks contract. So they're buying the services from one of the vendors, AT&T, Verizon, Quest, Sprint. They all are offering these MTIPS services. Now, as of now, agencies are very focused on version 1 of TIC. But DHS is just about finished with version 2.
We always knew we would learn some things from implementation, that department and agencies' architectures would change, the technology would come in, and then obviously the security environment, the threat environment would change. And so the production of the 2.0 architecture was done in an interagency manner, so we engaged the entire federal government in order to put it together. And yes, there are more requirements. They are encompassing of the TIC 1.0 requirements, but also took into account the fact that when we put TIC 1.0 together, we didn't have a concept of external data, public websites, for example, that have a slightly different security model than your internal enterprise server that stores personnel information. And so we were able to put a finer point on what was in TIC 1.0, making implementation more understandable. The combination of raising the bar by understanding what the new security environment is and then refining a set of things that were put in place before.
Now, Stemfley says version 2.0 will include 74 TIC requirements. That's up from 54 in version 1. The requirements are in the final clearance stages and could be finished in the next couple weeks to a couple months. You know how that clearance process goes.
Mm-hmm.
Stemfley says that even if agencies are in the middle of implementation of version 1, they should continue that path with version 1.
Okay.
Because version 2 also will include implementation guidance, compliance, what it means to be compliant. They're not going to give you deadlines per se or tell you how to implement version 2, but just the fact is this is how you measure whether you've implemented it fully. The other thing that DHS is doing, they're working with GSA, again, going back to the networks contract, mm-hmm. to ensure those vendors figure out how to implement version 2 under their MTIP services. So this is one piece to the bigger puzzle of continuous monitoring. It's not the only piece, and there's several other things, including that asset management, that agencies have to begin to do.
All right. Agencies are, as you said, supposed to have this capability in place by the end of fiscal 2012. So they've got about 18 months or so.
18 months sounds right.
To do that. Are we getting a sense of what the likelihood of hitting that deadline is going to be?
Well, it's still real early yet. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of work. I mean, mm-hmm. The Army, for instance, Roger Baker, let me start there. Roger Baker from VA spoke and said, we're the second largest agency. We have 600,000 people. We have this many networks and this many computers. And, you know, he kind of went through how many people they have. It's probably 600,000 computers, not people. But point is, they went through everything they have to do. The Army guy, Mike Krieger, came up and said, well, he thinks he's big. I'm the largest, you know, I'm part of the largest department,
right.
And I have twice as much as he has, mm-hmm. just in the Army alone. And yeah, not every agency is that large and has that same challenge. But the point is it's still early but they have to take some initial steps. And I think this asset management idea and the idea of the TIC, and there's certain other things they can do, are good initial steps.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we'll have a better idea in about a year when toward September timeframe, when they have to begin submitting information to OMB through what they call the CyberScope tool, which is another tool that helps them understand the health of the government's networks versus each agency's network, mm-hmm. alone. And it's going to take some time. I think it's like everything else. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be funding. There's a lot of funding tied up in this. And we all know what's going on around the potential shutdown,
yeah.
and CRs. So there's a lot of steps that still need to happen. 18 months feels like a long time, but they need to get started sooner than later.
And that's where what I was curious about, whether you have a sense that the urgency is manifesting itself in this.
Well, I think that the urgency is less about getting the health of their networks or meeting this goal, but understanding that, hey, if you know where all your assets are, you can then all of a sudden save some money as well because it becomes an efficiency initiative. For instance, you say, I didn't realize we had, you know, 15 licenses of Microsoft Office. Maybe I could bundle those together and then buy it from Microsoft at a cheaper price now.
Yeah.
Or pick any other software you want that they have. And the same thing with data centers, and all of a sudden you have three different versions of applications. well, maybe I only need one version of that application, and I can get rid of the other two, and I can stop supporting that. And then you also get virtualization and cloud computing options. So I think agencies have that need from not just a cybersecurity perspective, but a money-saving perspective as well.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More on federalnewsradio.com, correct?
It was later today and more tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It is 19 after the hour on the Dora Beck Insider on